Blog
by conservative Christians, and we all got freedom to die in the street. But the difference is more of us die in a week than they die in a year. I made it clear where I stand when the line is drawn, but now the line is gone, and nigga, anything goes. The land where the guns don't let anything grow. And what the fuck you niggas know about living in hell? You're not built like me, you never lived in a cell, you never gambled with your soul. Fuck the ice in your hand, gun in your palm, but you got a nigga's life in your hand. Young man, just remember that spice in a gram is a bloody game, like throwing mice in a sand. My words flow like the rivers that's west of Iran. The fertile crescent moon with the star in the middle, I reveal the depth of history, scars when I scribble. I gave you the world, and I ain't even charge you a little. The martyr is crippled, the prophets are dead and buried, but the message is simple, and it's not written down in the holy books as a riddle. Now we running through the streets, starving on that guerrilla warfare. Our people stuck in the guerrilla warfare. Innocent children screaming in tears. You acting like the army ain't brought hell here. Military industry having a swell year, swinging again, a lion in heaven, living off a blank check after 9/11. But I'ma have the truth brought back to the source. Fight for my land with physical force. Speak through music, the subliminal force. I need to check in the clip, fucking chain in the pause. Land of the guns. Land of the guns.
All right, so this is Timothy Spearman, and we're hosting the show, The Land of the Gun, and we have a special guest that's supposed to be calling in. Her name is Rebecca Carley. Dr. Carley is a avid researcher, and she has done a lot of background in research in all kinds of different areas, and she's one heck of a person, and I have known her for a few years now, and I'm very glad to have met her. And I just wonder, is Rebecca there on the line?
I'm here.
Hi, dear. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. So I guess we should lead with the story concerning Kevin Annette. What do you say? Because he's quite the guy. And he was hurt
yes.
the other day rather badly. So what do you have on that story? You know, he's a well-known Canadian activist, and he's done tremendous work to expose the evils that have been going on up here in Canada, and he brought a case of genocide before the United Nations related to the appalling treatment received by Native school children in the residential school system, which thankfully closed down in 1960, but the crimes are incredible and ongoing, and Kevin was instead of rewarded for his efforts, hurt rather badly the other day in Vancouver. So you know him quite well, Rebecca. So what do you know about what happened and so on?
Well, I did get an email that he was assaulted, and actually, this was very troubling to me because I have a show every Saturday on republicbroadcasting.org called West Valley America, and he was a guest on my show last Saturday. So I certainly hope that that didn't have something to do with him being assaulted, because the topic of the show was the global pedophile ring that's running in every country. High-level government officials are involved. And he was talking about the Vancouver Club, which involved a lot of high-level Canadian officials, and the fact that these individuals are sexually abusing children. And this is one of the greatest cover-ups that's going on in the world. This is happening everywhere, including the United States. I understand something just leaked out in Britain about their ring. They had a big scandal in Belgium in the 1990s where the people of the country rose up in something called the White March. I believe there was 400,000 people that took to the streets carrying white balloons. They were holding the courthouses in a symbolic act of cleansing with having fire trucks and hosing down the courthouses and things of that nature. And that actually did something to bring forth the facts in that scandal, where an individual by the name of Mark Dutroux was claiming that if because he had raped and murdered a number of children, that if he was brought to trial, he would reveal the high-level government officials that he was procuring children for. So, as I said, Kevin was on my show talking about this, and this is one of the biggest secrets that these predators at the highest levels of government do not want people to know about. I don't know how he's doing. I haven't been in contact with him since he was assaulted.
Mm-hmm. Well, in his own statement, he says, "I have waited to comment on the attack because of my need to rest and recover, but concerns from many people have prompted me to go public. Last Wednesday, January 6th, I was assisting a woman facing eviction, collected her belongings at a rooming house." And then he goes on to say that two men burst into the room, one of them a tall Caucasian man named Dave, who apparently was the manager of the building and a former employee of the Union Gospel Mission, began punching and kicking me. I received severe bruises on my neck and back, and a bruised and possibly broken rib because of this attack. At no time did he or his accomplice say that they were why they were attacking me. The woman whom I was assisting is a former sex slave worker who is now homeless, and who in the past has provided me with information concerning the disappearance of women in the downtown east side. Rebecca, there was a man that was arrested and a trial proceeded called the Picton trial. This man had apparently been responsible for abducting women, and he had a pig farm, and a lot of the women were taken there, and there were attempts to dispose of their remains in a way that would have him exonerated from any kind of investigation, and he was eventually caught. And of course, he's, as the regular MO goes with these people that run these kinds of criminal goings on, is that he was the front man who took all of the blame for this, when in fact probably he was just one of many involved in a ring that was abducting Native women from the Vancouver area and killing them. But the way these people operate is they always have some patsy, some front man, some kind of fall guy that takes the blame for the entire thing, and then all of those who are involved scurry like cockroaches back to their hiding place. So it involves far more than this character picked, and obviously Kevin Annette was involved in an investigation to expose the ring operating in Vancouver. So anyway, you had him
and
on your...
Yes. I just want to mention to him that people should be, of course, outraged that such a thing would happen, because when you're assaulted like that and you know that the high-level players in the police department, the district attorney's office, et cetera, et cetera, they're all involved in covering these things up. So where do you go? It's not like he can even report this crime to the authorities, because sure they'll do nothing. But he is certainly one of the heroes of this world, trying to expose this most outrageous treatment of the Native Canadians. But this is happening to children, as I mentioned on my show last week. This was actually on the mainstream media, just as a passing comment, that 800,000 children go missing here in the States every year. That's over 2,000 children a day. So that's like, you know, a 9/11 almost every day. And yet nobody's talking about this. It's just amazing that people aren't aware of what's really happening. And, of course, they have to become aware, because this is totally unacceptable. And if we don't rise up, as they did in Belgium, to shine a light on it, it's never going to change. Because, as you said, the people doing this, they're like cockroaches. The thing they fear most is, you know, the light of day being shown on it. So I'm very glad that you mentioned that situation. That's one of my passions, is to stop this insanity as well.
Yeah, we had a case up here some years ago involving a number of players, but ultimately the arrest was made of Paul Bernardo, and the Bernardo case also involved an accomplice, a woman named Carla Homolka, and they faced trial up here, but at that time, the premier of the province of Ontario, where all of this took place, mainly it took place in the Scarborough area, the city of Scarborough is part of the Greater Toronto area, and that's where most of these slayings and abductions took place, involving young women. And there were snuff films being made, and these poor young women were actually tortured to death, and dismemberment and all kinds of other horrors took place. And so it turned out that there was a University of Toronto professor named Robert O'Driscoll. And he wrote three books and had a co-researcher involved. And his last book was called New World Order Corruption in Canada. And that book was actually impounded by former Prime Minister Brian Mulroney. And Brian Mulroney's family history is very interesting, because his wife, Mila Mulroney, and his own background actually show some involvement with the MK Ultra program and what went on at Memorial College in McGill University in Montreal. And I know that so-called doctor, and I don't like to use these titles towards people who are incompetence and criminals, so please realize I'm using it in a very qualified way. And that's another thing that I wanted to mention, Rebecca, is that I think it's disgusting and inappropriate that we refer to Mengele with the title doctor to this very day. I think it's also highly inappropriate that we refer to Goebbels with the title doctor to this very day. And we do this in our education establishments. We do it in our newspapers and other publications. And clearly, they are not doctors, because the word doctor comes from the Latin meaning teacher. And if these people are teachers, then we all better hang up our hats and just, you know, get rid of our scholar robes, because what are they teaching? And why do we still call them doctor when they've committed appalling crimes against humanity? But at any rate, yeah.
If I could just comment, the only thing I would comment about that is for people to realize that it's the doctors that are doing these things. And that's one of my goals. I am a medical doctor myself. My goal is to cause the death of medicine, because medicine has been so corrupted that they are creating diseases, vaccines, and I'd like to get into that later, and giving drugs which only cause side effects, and in fact euthanizing the elderly. There's all kinds of things going on. But what Mengele did was pure evil. And that's what people have to realize, is that they're actually looking for people with no conscience to become doctors so that they can use them for their depopulation agenda.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the entire medical associations, as they're called in our respective countries, are engaged in active genocide, depopulation, and eugenics. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. I strongly endorse everything that Dr. Carley's saying, and the system has been so highly corrupted and hijacked to suit the aims and agenda of a corrupt global elite that you're right, from top to bottom, the whole system needs to be purged, which essentially would require us to create an entirely new brand of medicine and an entirely new institution to replace it. And I guess people like yourself are instrumental in doing just that, because you've set up an infrastructure for natural homeopathic and naturopathic medicines to be dispensed to people, and a new paradigm of medicine to be at their disposal. And I know lots of you, not just yourself, but Louise McLean over in the UK, and there's a character named John Board that I met here in Toronto, and there's lots of people all around that are supporting homeopathic and so-called alternative medicines. And one day we'll turn things around, I suspect. But
if I could just mention, you said the most important thing when you gave the definition of doctor is a teacher. And that's what doctors are supposed to do. That's what I do with my clients, is teach them what they should do, what I would do if I was they. Because, of course, they went after my medical license saying I have a delusion of conspiracy and wanted me to undergo psychiatric treatment to keep my license. I told them they can have my license. I'm a teacher. And people have to be taught what to do, what not to do, because we're being lied to about everything. And when things like aspartame and fluoride and pesticides and all of these pure toxins are allowed into our environment, and people are not educated as to what's going to happen to them, and now we have this new situation where with this false flag, Christmas Day, alleged terrorist bombing of an airplane, now they're going to be using these scanners in airports that are going to actually have the potential to unravel DNA. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. So people have to be educated as to how many terrible things there are that are being allowed to go on by the depopulationists, because that's their goal. And, of course, they make money all along the way. But this whole sex abuse problem is very key. If people wonder why we have so many children that are joining gangs and things of that nature, I'm sure they're highly involved in it, because the ones who are not killed, you know, they're left out in society, and many times they act out because they've gone through absolute torture and no one protected them. So they become, you know, violent in reaction to that.
Well, as anyone would, and this is the thing about so many disaffected and maladjusted people in society. We're so quick to judge, cast aspersions against them, call them crazy or deranged or whatever. But when you do the background and you find out what happened to them, you realize that had it happened to you, you would be behaving in precisely the same way. It's just natural that if you're abused, you are going to have adverse reactions to this appalling treatment. And there's all kinds of violence and mistreatment of individuals in society. And, you know, Rebecca has been through her own brand of this kind of abuse and persecution just for doing what she should be doing, which is doing research and exposing the truth about our world. And the appalling mistreatment and violence with which she's been subjected, including death threats and constant threats to her life, obviously, you know, for her to have endured it and still remain someone who engages productively with society and tries to make positive change just adds to the level of courage that we're talking about. And there's all kinds of people out there that are in this position. I read an article just recently by David Icke where he believes that he is being subjected to some kind of beaming in the night to throw off the electromagnetic balance in his body, and he can actually perceive a glow in his room and little orbs and things in his room at night, which he believes are being generated through some kind of pulse weapon of some kind. And this, he's told, is to throw off his the electromagnetic balance in his body so as to cause him to develop some kind of cancer. And David, having a good sense of humor, actually had a gorilla posted in the article giving these people the finger. And he's absolutely defiant and says, you know, whatever they throw at me, they can go on throwing it at me all day long. I'll still be here. And until my job is done, I will continue on until all of them and what they do are exposed. And knowing David, he'll be good to his word. He'll be here till the end.
Well, I would like to comment on that because, you know, things like this fill people with fear. And yes, she is undergoing electronic harassment. I had a lot of that going on when I lived in New York. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I was waking up with chest pains, and this went on for actually a few months until I talked about it on my public access TV show. I knew that my neighbor was highly involved in it, and once I exposed it, it stopped. But what I want people to realize is that, you know, the antidote to fear is action, and it's amazing what happens when you start taking action and you see the results of your actions. And all of us that are telling the truth about what these people with no conscience, they're actually another bloodline that are running the world, what these people are up to, it is going to occur. I know this, I just feel it very strongly, that we will reach critical mass once enough people wake up and realize what's being done to them on every level. Every terrible thing happening in the world is being done on purpose. And we can change things in a heartbeat, because, of course, there's more people with conscience than without. So I encourage all of you not to be filled with fear, but to realize that the truth will set us free. And as I always say, when people ask me, oh, they're going to kill you, yeah, they've tried a few times. But you know what? I would rather die than live in the world that they're creating. And once you see the world they're creating, especially for our children, how could anyone with a conscience buy and do nothing? We must tell others what's happening, and that is the only solution, is for all of us to rise up and say, no, we're not going to take this anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that your message is probably something that they greatly fear themselves, and they don't want it to be heard. And I can hear that some kind of attempt is being made to distort your voice. Sometimes it comes through very, very clearly, and then sometimes it sounds like it's going through some kind of mixer machine so that your voice is scrambled and delayed. You can hear me all right, though, right?
I can hear you all right, but let me just say, I had to call on my cell phone because my provider for my home phone, office phone, won't let me call into, like, conference call type situations, or I'll lose my unlimited long distance. It's some ridiculous stipulation. So the cell phone may have something to do with it, but who knows? Yes, my information has been suppressed, and things have happened. My computer crashes on a regular basis, et cetera, et cetera. No, they don't want this information to come out. As I said, I'm highly involved in exposing the global pedophile ring because my only son has been undergoing satanic ritual abuse, court-ordered for 10 years, and there's nothing I can do to help him. But my main message to people is about the medical mafia and what they've been up to. And it's really amazing that you're talking about the fact that they're actually kidnapping Native Canadian women and torturing them, killing them, and dismembering them. The DNA of the Native Americans, the Native Canadians, the Natives of pretty much every country seems to be pretty much under the greatest attack. And, of course, vaccinations are highly involved in this as well. I encourage your listeners to go to my website, drcarley.com, drcarley.com. I have a lot of information about vaccinations. And, in fact, vaccinations are the true weapons of mass destruction. And they're probably one of the biggest killers that we have in terms of what the medical system is doing. And, in fact, they are now able to create vaccinations that cause more harm in certain cultures, certain bloodlines, whatever. For example, there's a lot of people of color that have some condition called vitiligo. And I realized years ago that the reason they're having this condition is because they're putting melanin into the vaccines, melanin being the substance that makes the skin darker. And if you develop antibodies against the melanin, then you actually destroy the cells that make them, the melanocytes. And this is what's responsible for the condition called vitiligo. So that's one visual, example of how they can use vaccinations to, you know, hurt people. And this is hurtful on many levels when your black skin starts turning white and you have all kinds of crazy patches on you. I don't know if that's actually the only goal in those vaccinations. That may be being used as a marker, and there may be something else that's been put into those vaccinations as well. But by marking them with vitiligo, they can tell who's been affected by whatever they've done with these vaccines.
Yeah, it's very true what you're saying. I'm convinced that the squalene that was put in the H1N1 vaccine will eventually lead to symptoms erupting in recipients all around the world that have received it, that will be quite similar to the some of the symptoms exhibited by the Gulf War vets, many of whom developed what has been dubbed the Gulf War syndrome, because the, as I understand it, and you're the expert in the area, this insertion of squalene into the vaccine causes the body to recognize that which is a natural component of the body as an invading antigen, and then thereby hunts down every squalene molecule in the body because it sees it as this invading agent that has been introduced in a vaccine form that it needs to purge the body of. And so this causes the lining of the nervous system, which essentially squalene serves this role of acting as a protective lining of the nervous system, to have it stripped. I mean, it would be like stripping the wiring in your house of all the protective wiring, so that it it's completely exposed. And so I guess this would result in inflammatory conditions like neuralgia and what they call Guillain-Barré syndrome, and a host of other neurological diseases that would cause the victim to be completely racked with agonizing pain. Would that be true? Do you think that's a true reading of this, Rebecca?
Well, let me just go into this briefly, because see, every single ingredient in the vaccine has a severely damaging effect on the body. The squalene can actually cause antibody reactions in any part of the body, and this is going to cause a massive problem with autoimmune reactions of every sort. Not just the nervous system, but every part of the body can have an autoimmune reaction. And yes, in fact, squalene was put in the vaccines of the Gulf War soldiers. There's also a plague aspect to Gulf War syndrome. The Gulf War plague was this mycoplasma organism that was put in vaccines, and I'm sure that's being put in lots of other vaccines as well. You can't just read the package label and believe that that's what's in there, because these vaccine manufacturers are actually biowarfare agents, and they're putting lots of things in there that we don't know about. They're also using cells such as aborted fetuses. In fact, in the H1N1 vaccine, some of them, they're culturing them on liver cells. You cannot separate the cells from the viruses when you make the vaccine, witch's brew. And so if you get some liver cells injected into you when you get your H1N1 vaccine, you will develop an autoimmune reaction against those liver cells, because they're not you. Those antibodies will then attack your liver, and you can get autoimmune hepatitis. The condition you were talking about with the nerves is called demyelination. And the main cause of demyelination is neural tissue that's put in vaccines. For example, if you get a vaccine that's been cultured on aborted fetuses, nerve tissue, and that's injected into you, your body will see that nervous tissue is foreign and develop antibodies against it, and those antibodies will attack your nervous tissue. And the situation you're talking about is called demyelination. The way I explain it to people is that your nerves are similar to electric cords. The plastic on the electric cord is an insulator, just like the myelin is an insulator on your nervous tissue. And when antibodies start to chop that up and eat it up, you have holes in it, and so electronic impulses cannot conduct properly. And all of the neurological conditions you can think of, autism, ADD, learning disabilities, Guillain-Barré, as you mentioned, Parkinson's, MS, it's all from vaccines. The aluminum in vaccines is what causes the allergic response. I actually have a book published by NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, their life science division, in the early 80s, where they talk in the book about how the aluminum in vaccines is what's causing the antibody IgE to be produced. IgE is the antibody of allergy and anaphylactic shock. And I found out recently that they're also putting peanut oil in vaccines. So these children that are developing life-threatening allergies to peanuts, where they can, you know, just smell a peanut butter sandwich that their neighbor in the cafeteria is eating and go into anaphylactic shock and die if there's no one there to inject them with epinephrine, this has been done intentionally. I mean, I could go on for a day just talking about these different issues. A lot of this information is on my website. But my most important message to the listeners is, do not get vaccinated. Do not let anybody put a needle into you. You have no idea what's in that needle, and it's not going to prevent disease. It's probably going to give you the disease. First of all, lots of people that get the flu vaccine come down with the flu, but it's the other things in the vaccine that are even worse.
Well, that's amazing information, some of which I was aware and others I wasn't. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think anyone that just heard that or that will hear it will certainly never even contemplate going to get vaccinated, because every word you said rings true. It makes absolute sense, and the way you described it is highly convincing to anyone listening. So if you did hear what Dr. Carley has just said, please pass the word. Do your best to retain the information that she's just imparted to you, and please do visit her website. You want to give out your details in that regard so that people can check out your information?
Yes, my website is www.drcarley.com. There's lots of information on there about vaccines. I always tell people, don't believe me, check things out for yourself. The information is out there. One of the most important articles on my website is entitled Science of Vaccine Damage. That was written by a woman in the UK, and it has 19 scientific studies done by veterinarian research that were not funded by Big Pharma that proves what I say. The vaccines cause all autoimmune disease, seizures that are not caused by trauma, cancer, and genetic damage in people and in pets. So it's not just the people, it's the pets as well, and the food source animals. They're inoculating all of the animals that you're eating with vaccines as well. So you're eating all of these toxic things in your hamburgers and whatever else. When you see the immensity of the situation, well, that's what keeps me going to do my work, because I realize that this has potential to cause the extinction of the human race.
Yeah, I think the extent of the poisoning that's taking place is something that people are slowly waking up to, because we keep reading about poisons here and poisons there and poisons everywhere, and people are beginning to put it together that, you know, it's not just happenstance, it's not just chance, it's not just you know, carelessness or thoughtlessness or some kind of expediency or any kind of excuse that's behind this, but absolute criminal intent to cause harm. It's part of the population reduction agenda, UN Agenda 21. We see posters even now that are disseminated by United Nations agencies that depict human beings as being some kind of pariah on the planet. There's pictures where you see a human being attacking fish, aquatic life, and the mouth of the human being is wide open, and obviously it's a bit of a bit of fun on their part. You know, they're depicting the human being as being jaws. So this is really what they're about. It's all about social engineering. It's about turning the opinion of humankind against itself. It's about trying to make us feel shame for being what we are, trying to make us feel guilty, trying to inflict this feeling of guilt upon us so that we'll commit mass suicide, that we'll turn upon ourselves, that we'll see ourselves as the enemy of the planet, and as Gaia as something sacrosanct, and all natural life is something sacrosanct that has to be protected at the expense of human life, that we have to get rid of us because there's too many of us and we're a plague upon the planet. Well, not true. And, you know, it's possible that we can easily turn things around overnight if the will and the initiative are there. so that we live harmoniously, not only with other animals with which we share the planet, but plant life and everything else on the planet. It can be done, and it can be done very easily if the will is there. But obviously, the will is not there. Sorry, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Well, because the people have not been educated. You see, I want to give people some good news. First of all, in terms of the vaccine-induced diseases, I've developed a protocol that reverses all these vaccine-induced diseases using natural therapies. That's what makes me so dangerous to the medical mafia. And I do counsels for people, and you can contact me if you're interested in that. In terms of the pollution of the planet, there are natural things that are already in place that can reverse the poisoning of the planet. I know a naturopath that actually uses homeopathy to detox golf courses of pesticides. There are people that have developed technology that can clean up the ocean. There's so many things out there. One of the main things that people should research is a man by the name of Nikola Tesla, who was alive about 100 years ago. He actually developed a tower in Long Island that could have given free electrical energy to everybody in the United States. But the bankster, J.P. Morgan, made sure that that was destroyed. And what they've done is take his technology and push it around for evil. And I'm sure that the earthquake that occurred recently in Haiti was caused by this technology, which is in a few places on the earth, but especially in Alaska. It's called the HARP technology, High Frequency Auroral Resonance Research Project, and they have the ability to cause earthquakes, tsunamis, and all kinds of what would appear to be natural disasters. So all the things that they're doing that are pure evil, that are making the planet and the people sick, can be turned around and used for good. And there are people that know how to do it. It's just a matter of those people being suppressed by the ones that control the world. There's no money to be made on these technologies, and so the global depopulation people would rather get rid of a large proportion of the population. In fact, on the Georgia Guidestones, they say they want to decrease the population of the world to 500 million. This is a stone structure in Albertson, Georgia. It actually says that is their first goal, so they put it right in our face. So I would just like people to know that there is good news, that these things can be turned around, but we have to reach critical mass in an awakening of the people of conscience to let them know that this is possible. And I don't even know, I mean, what kind of punishment do these traitors to humanity deserve? I can't even imagine a sentence that would be good enough for their crimes, but certainly they have to be put out of business. Perhaps we can put them on one of those NASA space shuttles and let them go to another planet and work their magic there.
Yeah. So to finish the story that I started earlier about this case involving Paul Bernardo up here in Canada, Rebecca, he was a Freemason. And interestingly enough, he belonged to a renegade lodge of Freemasonry that was called the Confederate Lodge of Freemasonry, which just happens to be exactly the same Freemason lodge that Timothy McVeigh belonged to. And I believe that this renegade lodge, as it's called, or it's certainly not mainstream Freemasonry, probably had some kind of mind control operation going on, because the common denominator between Paul Bernardo and Timothy McVeigh is that strong suspicions have been aired. I know Jim Keith in his book, OK Bomb. Jim Keith was one of our best researchers here in North America, and he was murdered because he was so good. But he did publish this book, OK Bomb, and he does believe that Timothy McVeigh underwent some kind of mind control, and also talked about how Timothy McVeigh believed that he had been microchipped and that it caused him some discomfort where it had been injected into him. Now, Paul Bernardo, it appears, was protected by Freemasons within the Toronto Police Force, and suspects were on their list that were arrested, and one man actually served time for an assault involving a young woman and then was later released, wrongly accused and released. Paul Bernardo, it appears, met with fellow Masons at a bar in Scarborough, and they had these meetings regularly, and some of these people that took part in these meetings, these fellow Masons, were on the Toronto Police Force. So it appears that there was some element of obstruction of justice which prevented him from being arrested at an earlier juncture and could have brought to an end the horrible serial killings that were taking place long before had he been arrested, and certain leads had been followed at an earlier juncture. But at any rate, it would appear that, as is often the case, Freemasonry had its role, had its involvement. I know that Bob Rae, it is claimed, who was the Premier of Ontario, at the time that he was Premier, there was a media blackout on the case involving Paul Bernardo, and people had to go to New York State to receive any news about the case that was going on here in Toronto. And of course, it was claimed that this was not to prejudice the child in any way or to somehow cause information to be leaked that shouldn't be or what have you. There is always some pretext or justification for what they do, but at the end of the day, it was just cover-up. Because what Professor Robert O'Driscoll stated in his book, New World Order Corruption in Canada, would make your hair raise. He essentially said that the Premier of Ontario, Bob Rae, was the illegitimate father of Paul Bernardo, who was born with the grandfather's name Saul, and then later changed his name to Paul, and was farmed out as a changeling child to another family, where he was raised as a Bernardo. Do I believe the story? Yes. Why else would the book be impounded by Brian Mulroney, whose own family history links him to these horrors and atrocities? And there are established links to MK Ultra involving his family history and background. The book was impounded. Robert O'Driscoll was dismissed from his tenured position at Trinity College, University of Toronto, despite his incredible research skills, and under strange, very, very strange situation, he was killed later in Ireland, where his family hails from, and the case, the way it was presented, seemed to involve his son in some way, but I do believe that he was murdered and permanently shut up. Also, Brian Mulroney was behind the Deschen Commission, which was an independent inquiry commissioned by his government to investigate the operations of the CIA in Canada, MK Ultra type experimentation in particular, and the activities of Memorial College, McGill University, were highly in question. The inquiry was conducted in Quebec, not surprisingly, because that's where Montreal is, and all of the goings-on were summarily suppressed. And thanks to Kevin Annett and his ongoing investigation, the 28 mass graves involving the Native school children that were victimized and brutalized and killed in the MK Ultra programs that were going on up here in Canada came to the light of day, and it involved the United Church of Canada as well as the Catholic Church of Canada, the government of Canada, and former Nazi Mengele was also involved, particularly at the Memorial College McGill University facility. And so it's amazing the secrets that we have up here in Canada, the land of secrets. You seem to be much better down there in the United States at prizing open the lid to see what's underneath. At least your corruption comes to the light of day through brave people blowing the whistle and so on. But up here in Canada, seldom does this stuff come to the light of day because, well, I just don't know why. I guess there's not enough brave people speaking out.
Well, I would encourage the listeners to watch Kevin Annett's amazing documentary that he made called The Canadian Holocaust. I know it's either on YouTube or Google Video, but you really should watch that and hear some of the people testify that he has found that survived it as to the unbelievable torture that they endured. And yes, in fact, the churches are involved. All the churches have been corrupted as well. You brought up the most important aspect of this, and we've done a lot of shows on the Masons. They are involved with everything. As a matter of fact, the medical Masons are called the Anti-Hippocratics. And you had told me about an amazing movie called Anatomy 2, Anatomy and then the number 2, which the listeners could access. And that's actually the most accurate showing of the medical Masons that I've ever seen. Of course, the only disinformation in the movie is in the end, the police ride in on their white horse, you know, they arrest the bad guys. Well, as you said, in reality, the high-level police are Masons as well. And this is why all of these things are covered up. And then you've got your judicial Masons. So even if anybody makes it to court, they have ways of closing the courtroom or suppressing the media, as you were stating. So this is the problem that we have. And people have to realize that the high-level Masons, the lower-level Masons don't have a clue what's going on. But the 32nd degrees and above, they are involved in Luciferianism. They worship Lucifer. Pedophilia and child sacrifice is part of their religion, and this is what they do. And it's a very ugly reality that most people, they don't even want to consider this. They don't want to know this. It's too ugly to even conceive that such things are going on, especially by these people that are running the world who we're supposed to respect when actually they are criminals of the highest order.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have read that, you know, facilities of this kind where these practices take place are usually concealed in, you know, locations where you would least suspect it. I recall reading Fritz Springmeier's book Bloodlines of the Illuminati, and in the chapter that dealt with the Disney family, he spoke about how the Disney World actually has an underground facility, a kind of underground labyrinth of rooms and locations where a lot of the children that are abducted actually end up. And, you know, you want to consider whether you really want to go to such a place, considering what it actually represents. And sugar-coated, though it may be on the outside, What's going on in the Disney empire underneath is something that seems to be quite ugly. I mean, there's been lots of research done exposing the fact that there was subliminal imagery inserted into a lot of the Disney films, including something seemingly as innocuous as The Little Mermaid. And a court case actually took place in which a father sued the firm for the psychological damage that he believed would have been inflicted upon his own child because of her watching the films within which were inserted frames that were highly suggestive from a sexual standpoint. And so, you know, your eye, your physical eye, is only able to register a certain number of frames per minute, in the sense that your conscious mind is only able to accept a certain number of frames per second, and to actually interpret the imagery and assimilate it into the conscious mind. But in excess to that, other frames can be inserted that, though not registered by your conscious mind, are picked up by your subconscious. And this is the kind of thing that is going on in our mass media culture, where the silicon sorcerers, as they have been dubbed, are engaged in this kind of nefariousness. And the ability that they have to influence the human mind is not to be underestimated. I've read articles recently about how James Cameron's latest film, Avatar, is causing people to have adverse psychological reactions because the glorified utopian world that he paints, Pandora, in this film causes people to believe it, in a sense, because their subconscious is taking hold of the imagery that they're seeing, and it's almost like an override switch where a schizophrenic type condition kicks in, where they believe the fantasy over the actual reality within which they live, because, quite simply, it's preferable. He has painted in his tapestry such beautiful graphics of a other world that you psychologically replace this other world, you replace your real world with this other world, and so it automatically creates an almost schizophrenic condition where the subject going away from the film finds themselves unable to distinguish in a normal way fantasy from reality, because a kind of override switch has been flipped and they've opted for fantasy over reality. So a lot of them are suffering from depression. Some of them are suicidal. I hear a lot of these people that have gone to see the film. I've read their testimony. They just feel very odd and out of sorts and maladjusted and don't know how they're going to carry on in this real-world environment.
Yes, and I'm sure that's why they made the movie a 3D movie, because when you make it 3D, you're even more immersed in it. It's like you're actually part of the movie. And I also want to bring up, in terms of Disney, I met a man 2 years ago who worked at Disney. He was a high-level person in regards to the different shuttles that they run in the Disney compound in Florida. And he told me that, yes, in fact, there was an underground section, and he was aware that they were taking children down there. He didn't know exactly what was going on. He wasn't that high level. But the people that work at Disney in certain areas are certainly more aware of what's going on. And I also want to mention, in terms of what I call tele-eye vision, where they're selling lies to our vision, I don't know if it's happened in Canada, but here in the States, everybody went to digital TV a few months ago, And the reason that that occurred was because now they actually have the capability of putting what's called sound of silence frequencies right through the television, and they're beaming them right into your homes. And this also can cause certain mental effects, mind control. They're attacking us on so many levels. These vaccinations, the flood in the water, the different digital signals that we're getting exposed to. And then, of course, there's many people, as we were discussing, like David Icke, that are undergoing personal electronic harassment. They've developed so many technologies to hurt us and to make us give up. It's exactly what you're saying. They want the people that have a conscience to believe that the evil that's taking place, that they've got all their ducks in a row, and that there's absolutely nothing that we can do. And in my mind, that's the biggest lie. Because, in fact, as you were saying, we can turn this around in an instant. Once enough people realize that this is happening, it's being done intentionally, and once you lose your fear, because as far as I'm concerned, we're already dead. You know, they've already told us 500 million, that's how many they want on the earth. So I doubt that I'm in that number, and that's why I will never stop, you know, telling people what I know to be the truth after 13 years of research into all of these areas. It is truly like entering a black hole once you start learning about these things, because what they're doing is just so amazingly massive. But it can be turned around. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah. I'm just amazed by the scale of it. It's amazing to me how they have orchestrated things in such a way that we're being assailed and attacked through absolutely every avenue going. And I guess that is heartening in the sense that if you're under attack from so many different vehicles and from so many different angles, it would cause you to be eventually, at least you would think, it would cause you to be more alert and aware that you are under attack. And I do believe that that is happening, and I guess that's the most encouraging news we have, is the fact that the mass of humanity can no longer live in denial, because the level of obviousness is reaching the point of critical mass, and so the conscious awareness that we are under attack seems to be rising exponentially. But sadly, you know, I still see people that, despite what they have heard about vaccines and read about vaccines, they still naively, due to, I guess, years and years of brainwashing, blindly trust the medical establishment. And even though they know that the vaccines contain timerosal, they'll come back at you and say, yeah, but so does makeup. And it's almost like they've just thought, well, you know, despite the harm, they're, you know, telling us that, you know, it will save us and prevent us from getting this dreaded swine flu. So, you know, weighing the pros against the cons, I think my aunt is right, or my mom is right. I should get it. And, I mean, obviously, after hearing Rebecca Carly's information here on the show, you realize, well, you've got to be out of your absolutely got to be out of your mind to be taking this vaccine, knowing what is in it and the harmful effects that it's naturally supposed to have upon you, your mind and your body, etc. So,
well, those people
wish...
that people you're talking about, I refer to them as the sheeple, and those are the people that would just rather go along with the program. They don't want to wake up. They don't want to face reality. What I always tell people is there is a monster under the bed, so stop telling your kids there's no monster under the bed. And those people, unfortunately, most of them will die, because eventually they'll do so many things that these evil forces are telling them to do that they can't possibly survive. And once you get into the system, such as once you go on disability or something like that, then they have you, you know, they have you because, you know, there's certain things they order you to do, like you must get vaccinations, people that go on Medicare and such things, that it's a stipulation that they have to get vaccinations for their children. So people just have to be aware of this. But I learned a long time ago, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make them drink. If they don't want to know the truth, then that's their decision. And it's very hard because there's a lot of people and families, like there, I get calls all the time, there will be one person in a family who knows what's going on and they love their other family members and they try to tell them what's going on and then they're called delusional. And this is just what's going on because so many people don't want to know the truth. But what I suggest to everyone is to, you know, just educate those who are just starting to peep open their eyes, the ones who are willing to face reality to some degree. The ones who aren't, there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca, I just want to get into the nitty-gritty with you because we've both done research to get at the heart of the beast. And you raised the issue of bloodlines and how the global elite that act as the overlords of this planet that cause all this harm that we've been speaking of, they are of a separate bloodline. So I want to ask you, in your view, the Georgia Guidestones were commissioned by a man who identified himself as R.C. Rosenkreutz, and I'm thankful that he did so because it points to who was behind him. R.C. stands for Rosy Cross. Rosenkreutz is German for Rosy Cross. The Rosicrucian Society is tightly connected to the Freemason Society. Both have been linked to the interbreeding bloodline historical families known as the Illuminati. Lord only knows whether this name Illuminati is another sort of deception, but whatever the case may be, we know for a fact that there is this interbreeding bloodline family line that goes back to the ancient world. Call it what you will, they exist. So of the 500 million that they would prefer to inhabit the planet and sweep the rest of us away with a broom, get rid of us, do you believe that it's possible that this 500 million target that they wish to maintain could be their seed line and its diaspora into the general population? Do you think that's what is at play here, that they want only their exclusive seed line to populate the planet?
Well, I'm sure that they're included in there. Whether or not they've gotten our world in general to be mechanized enough where they don't need a few of, you know, what I call the people with conscience, which are the other side, the true humans, as it were. They probably would need a few of us to do their bidding because they're not known for wanting to do any actual, you know, work. So there may be a few of what they call the goy or the sheep. There's different names for us that they may want to allow to keep living. But obviously their intention is to mainly have they be the ones that survive, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the actual seed line that we're talking about, I'm trying to come to terms with it because, you know, a lot of the ways that we see our world are conditioned. I mean, I have a religious background. I mean, I went to a Christian school when I was a child, and I did go to church with my family when I was young, so you can't deny that there's some religious background there. Have I managed to extricate or wean myself from the programming of such a background? Yeah, absolutely. I've explored other religious traditions, and obviously they're their own brand of brainwashing and mind control in many ways. Nothing has been untainted. Nothing has been uncontaminated. I don't know what status to grant this Satan character, this Lucifer character, this Antichrist character. I mean, are they simply an extraterrestrial race? Are the ancient texts correct that those who from the heavens came to earth, that the gods spoken of in the ancient texts were in fact off-worlders that came here and interbred with humanity and created hybrid bloodlines? And is Satan one of their overlords? Is this other dimensional race, referred to by some researchers as a lower fourth dimensional race, what we're speaking of here? If I were to imagine a race that would fall out of grace with the Creator and would fall from the heavenly plane to the material plane, I would imagine a race that had lost its connection with the principle with which fruitive activity takes place in the universe, the principle of love. If you are out of harmony with the principle that is the glue of the universe and keeps everything together, which is love, then it makes sense to me that you would incarnate into the material universe as a cold-blooded and cold-hearted race of beings, a reptilian race. Not a warm-blooded, warm-hearted race like mammals, but cold-hearted, calculating, territorial, hierarchical, devoid of love, totally instrumental in your thinking, having an instrumental view of associations. You wouldn't even call them friends. You would just call them associates or colleagues. And I believe there's something of that order going on here. And that the ancient mystery schools with their degree ranking system and the degree ranking system that we see in our aristocratic hierarchy, like dukes and earls and princes and kings, all that was imposed by them, because the purer your bloodline, the higher you go in the hierarchy. But that's my take on it, Rebecca. What is your take on it? How do you see this hierarchy of control and these bloodlines and who they are and where they came from?
Well, the proposal that you're making for their background is the one that makes the most sense. I mean, I look at them more in terms of their anatomy and physiology. What I have determined is that in studying the chakra system of the body, of course, I did never learn anything about that in medical school. That's the energy anatomy of the body, and that which is of a spiritual nature. It's very obvious to me that they only have three chakras. The three chakras, the lower chakras that are responsible for reproduction and feeding, self-preservation, and of course, they have no heart chakra, and this is why they're basically mass murderers and will kill anything that moves if it's in their way. So that's how I look at them in terms of their energy anatomy, that they obviously have no conscience, and that's why I've divided them or the species into those with a conscience and those without. That's the easiest way for me to look at them, because you find them everywhere. Certainly in the Talmud, the Talmudic Jewish people are the Zionists, and I just want to read the last paragraph in the Protocols of Zion under the 10th Protocol. This is what it says. It is indispensable to trouble in all countries the people's relations with their governments, so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, struggle, envy, torture, starvation, by the inoculation of diseases, which is in capital letters. I want, so that the boys see no other issues than to take refuge in our complete sovereignty in money and in all else. So certainly these people are involved, and anyone that checks out the Talmud, I mean, it talks about in the Talmud it's okay to have sex with children at the age of 3. They have all kinds of amazing things in there, that it's okay to steal from the goy, things of that nature. So they put these things in writing, and you know, you have to check things out for yourself. The people at the high level of the Masons, they weed out the lower level people, the ones that have a conscience. They will never let them go to the highest levels because they would not be involved in child sacrifice and things of that nature. There's many different groups. The Catholic Church is obviously highly involved. As a matter of fact, Kevin Annette made a statement on my show last Saturday that the present Pope, this guy Ratzinger, which when I look at him, you can just tell he's evil. I mean, he just oozes evil. He actually put out some written statement that anyone that turns in a pedophile priest will be excommunicated. So people have to realize that these really sick rituals are part of many of these religions at the highest level. And so obviously these are people of that same race that have been elevated to their position so that they can carry out, you know, their desires. So anyways, that's how I look at it. In terms of their personal DNA structure, I'm sure it's different from ours. And I'm sure that there could be a test that could be done to find out who's from the zoo. There's a very excellent movie called They Live. If people have not seen it, you should really check that movie out. There's a lot of truth in the movies, more truth than in the news. And in the movie They Live, the concept of the movie is that if you have these special glasses that you put on, you can see these people. But in my opinion, you don't need special glasses. You just look at their actions. Their actions tell it all. The people who have no conscience, who will sell their soul for cash, who will murder people that are trying to speak the truth and, you know, turn things around. I mean, these people are obviously of that lot.
Yeah, actions speak louder than any words, for sure. They make themselves known through their deeds. I wonder where they were spawned. You know, I've recently read a couple of books that are kind of provocative. One was about, was called The Dragon Legacy, and it was written by a man called Nicholas DeVere, and he went into the long history of the DeVere family. I was interested in it simply because Edward DeVere, the Earl of Oxford, was of the DeVere line, but only through adoption. But given that the Illuminati have this long-standing practice of having illegitimate children and then farming them out to other aristocratic families to be raised as changeling children, and that Edward DeVere, the Earl of Oxford, was one such child who was the Queen's child, and she was raped at the age of 16 by her stepfather, Thomas Seymour, and the birth took place secretly in the country, and the boy was given to the 16th Earl of Oxford to be raised. And so the play Hamlet is the autobiography of the Earl's early life. This stuff goes on in these Illuminati bloodline families a lot, and it's very difficult for us to trace their bloodlines and pedigrees because they conceal their true family lines. And you think that, for example, Francis Bacon is of the Bacon line, but not so. He's another illegitimate son of Queen Elizabeth, so he's actually a Tudor. So to actually know who gave birth to whom and how these bloodlines have actually wended their way through history is difficult to detect because they may keep very strict registers of their family, true family trees, but we don't have access to them except through the assiduous efforts of people like Fritz Springmeier that have managed to somehow get a hold of some of these family trees and so on. I mean, he actually, in his book, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, looks at Abraham Lincoln, and his research leads him to believe that he's a descendant of the Rothschild or Bauer family line. Their original name was Bauer. But what I'm getting from my research is that it looks as if a lot of these Illuminati bloodline families are Khazarian, that they would trace their line back to the Khazar Empire and to current-day Kazakhstan. And what I find... Sorry, Rebecca, did you have a comment?
No, I'm just listening in awe. You are the best researcher I know of along these lines. Keep going.
So I've recently come across this astonishing building that has been erected in Kazakhstan. And, you know, Kazakhstan, in most people's perception, would not be considered a first world type of country. You know, most of us would have the perception that it's a struggling, developing country. But the world government type of headquarters building that has been erected there is absolutely unbelievable. I don't know whether I sent you the photo images of this, but I think I did. And it's incredible to see because it looks like the set of the more recent Star Wars films. I mean, it's architectural technology and architectural design at least a century, possibly two centuries ahead of the rest of the world. I mean, it just makes your eyes go bug-eyed. You can't believe this. And when I say it looks like the set from the more recent Star Wars offerings of George Lucas, I'm not kidding you. It really does. And I was just astonished to see it. And why Kazakhstan? And when you look at the empire of the Khazars and where they hail from, this is obviously their original territory. And if this is a world government type of facility, is this where the Antichrist is to take power? And from my limited knowledge of astrology, I'm just kind of been apprenticing in it. I'm not by any means a professional or an expert in astrology, but because of the gifts I have in background in philosophy and metaphysics and other areas of research, I seem to have a sharp eye for certain aspects of astrology and how it works. And I did a chart for December 21st, 2012, and my conclusions are, after looking at the chart, that is the date where the Luciferians or the Satanists, or whatever you want to call them, plan to enthrone the Antichrist. And my intuition is pretty strong and oftentimes very reliable. And my suspicion, Rebecca, is that this headquarters facility in Kazakhstan is where he's going to take his seat of power. Any thoughts on that stuff?
Well, it certainly makes sense. As a matter of fact, they're putting that in our face as well. There was a movie recently released, 2012. I have not seen the movie. But just last night, on this new show that's here in the States called Conspiracy Theory, which ex-governor from Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, is the host, and he's been doing an absolutely amazing job covering various things like the false flag that's called 9/11, the HARP machine, lots of different things. But just last night he covered 2012. And the purpose of the show was to show all of the underground cities that have already been built where, you know, the rich and powerful are going to be going at that time. So obviously something's up, no question. And they have the technology. You know, we have the book Revelations in the Bible, which in my opinion is a psyops maneuver to make people believe that it's God's will for all this death and destruction to come upon the earth. And so that's why so many Christians especially, they're doing absolutely nothing. You know, they're praying, but they're doing absolutely nothing to stop it. And this is how they're going forward with their master plan to cause this huge devastation, which will occur on all levels. We see it here in the States. They're driving this country into the ground financially, for example. So all of these things are coming about, and it certainly seems like by 2012 we're going to be in some very, you know, deep doo-doo.
I just opened an email from our colleague Patrick Jordan, and he's talking about the Blue Bloods, which I had mentioned in a previous email, and the governing elite, the historical elite, they're often referred to as Blue Bloods. Now, his comment is that I am aware of the term in a historical context. The Illuminati use it to describe their unique physiology. It got me thinking about how Stephen King would always describe the taste of blood as coppery. There is copper that is part of the blood building process, but it is an iron at the center of hemoglobin, so I always found his comments strange. Copper in certain coordination spheres can give blue or green hues. Reminds me of Spock on Star Trek. So when you use the term blue blood, what meaning do you give it, and do you have any insights on the physiology of such blood, if indeed you are referring to it physiologically? Well, the only thing I can say in response to Patrick's question is that I recall reading a book by David Icke where he talked about how these Blue Bloods derived their name from the fact that when they were born, their skin was of a slightly blue hue or tint. So that's the only comment I have to make on the subject of the Blue Bloods. But clearly there's something. Yes, Rebecca.
I think it's all about what you said before about the copper. As a matter of fact, it's very interesting that, you know, when you think about where do these bloodlines go, like if they're involved in an accident or something happens to them, they're not going to go to any regular doctors. They're going to go to a bloodline doctor. And I would not be the least bit surprised if, in fact, their blood actually has a bluish hue because of the fact that it has copper in it instead of iron. So I think that that's probably more likely the source of the term.
That's probably the case, yeah. The Queen, I know Queen Victoria had her own personal family physician. He was a 33rd degree Freemason, he has been implicated by Stephen Knight and other researchers in the Jack the Ripper slayings. He didn't act alone. It seems that he had two accomplices and that there were actually three Jacks. But there you go. It's self-evident to me that the Queen and the royal family, they have their own personal family physician. They themselves, interestingly enough, don't subscribe to pharmaceutical or allopathic medicine, Prince Charles and other members of the current royal family have shown themselves to be avid supporters of homeopathy. So what does that say other than that they seem to recognize it as being a superior form of medicine? So why is it that the elite families have access to this superior medicine and recognize it for its merits, and yet they also, you know, convince us at the lower pecking order that this is alternative medicine and that the real medicine is the poisonous medicine that's killing us, the pharmaceutical or allopathic medicine?
Well, the answer is obvious because, one, they want to depopulate the earth, and two, they're the ones making money off all of these industries, especially the industry of cancer. Cancer is, I think, a $1 trillion industry in the world, and there's more people making money off cancer than even have cancer. Because, of course, chemo and radiation don't work. They both cause cancer. So they kill the people slowly, make them very sick, have their last days on earth be pure hell, and then charge them a small fortune to do so.
Yeah, the anti-Hippocratics that control the medical associations at the helm, I'd be very interested in knowing exactly who these people are, because, you know, I've been told and have read that B'nai B'rith, which actually means Sons of the Covenant, are the elite branch of Freemasonry that control it internationally. And most people are of the perception that, you know, B'nai B'rith is a Jewish organization. Obviously, it's Hebrew. The words themselves, meaning Sons of the Covenant, are Hebrew. But, you know, does this mean that they are actually Jewish? I say no, because first of all, how can you be a God-fearing Jew and be a Satanist or Luciferian? Clearly, they are mutually exclusive. One cannot be God-fearing and loving of the Creator and at the same time worship his adversaries. So first off, let's get rid of the word Jew. Clearly, they are not Jews. They may be pretending to be, but they're certainly not. And it is kind of convenient for them to grant themselves the cover of Jews, because then they can sort of insulate themselves against exposure. But I don't think they're Jews. Do you, Rebecca?
Not only that, but I think the whole Holocaust situation, I think there are people of good conscience that are of true Jewish descent. But apparently what happened in the Holocaust, which was actually caused by Hitler, who from my research is also one of these bloodlines. He was a Rothschild, a changeling, as you've described previously, put in another family to be raised. And it was his mission to kill off a large number of Jews, although the actual number is obviously up for debate. But however many of them were killed, it made it look like they were going against the Jews. But in fact, this was a Zionist acting against the Jews. I call those people that pretend to be Jews who are Luciferian Zionists. And that whole thing went forward, in my opinion, so that they could bring forward this whole anti-Semitic scam, because the Jewish people aren't Semites anyways. You can look up the definition of a Semite in the dictionary. It actually includes Palestinians and all kinds of other people, but that's how they invented this whole anti-Semitic scam, which now, if you talk against the Zionists, they call it hate speech, and they're trying to pass legislation to make it a crime to tell what these people are doing. So I totally agree with you that these are not Jews. They pretend to be Jews so that they can go under that anti-Semitic protection, so that they can't be exposed.
Right, exactly. And Well, you know, the archangel Jesus referred to the synagogue of Satan. He referred to those who call themselves Jews but are not so. And so the game is very old and seems to be still in existence. I wonder, personally, where this strain of Luciferians that have masqueraded within world Jewry and have identified themselves as Jews, though they are not Jews, and I want to emphasize that very strongly. I wonder where they actually hail from, where they actually historically have their root. Where do they come from? Is it from Babylon? Is it from the Khazar Empire? Or do you think that it's kind of an origin that can't be pinpointed geographically, but has probably had various locations? There's been various locations around the earth where they've been spawned. What do you think about that?
Well, based on the possible history that you were giving earlier as to the origin being off-earth type of thing, I would say it's probably in many places because these things happened all over. We have Credo Mutwa in Africa, who did an interview with David Icke that talked about legends that have been passed down through time to the African people about such things even happening in Africa. So I think it's probably a variety of places. And who knows what their actual bloodline is. But as you were saying, the reason they do all this interbreeding is because they want to keep their bloodline pure.
Right. And it looks like the mystery schools of the ancient world that were always degree-oriented, where you climbed up the ranking system through a initiatory degree system, that was implemented in order to keep their bloodlines pure as possible, so that only those of pure disposition of bloodline would actually end up at the 33 degree or whatever degree level they considered the highest in their pecking order. And so once you achieve that position, then you recorded a corresponding position of extremely high rank within the social hierarchy of your society, so that you become either the head of banking, like 33rd degree Freemason Alan Greenspan was, and presumably his successor Bernanke, or you become president of the United States or something of that nature, or the head of military, a four-star general, or someone in the Joint Chiefs of Staff or whatever, someone of high military rank. And so then they can ensure themselves that they're going to maintain what they hope anyway will be absolute control over the planet, and at the same time they keep their bloodline untrammeled and uncontaminated up at the top of a hierarchical structure. So,
Mm-hmm. I would like to also bring up Barack Obama, because one of the problems we have here in the States, and this just goes to show how well they plan their operations, by having somebody run for president who has some degree of African-American blood in him, this is a reason why so many people of color are standing behind this man, no matter what he does. I mean, everything he's doing is totally against the promises he made when he was running for election. He's driving our country into financial ruin, and people are supporting him just because of the color of his skin. It was admitted on at least two shows that I know of while he was running that he's a cousin of Dick Cheney. So this is what people have to realize, that all of these people that are put in positions of power, they're put there because of their bloodlines, and they would not be put there otherwise. Nobody someone with a conscience is going to be allowed to even run for a high-level office, because there's a chance that they would not agree to be a puppet for the New World Order. Have you ever done any research on Obama in terms of whether or not he has any Masonic connections?
Yes, I have. I believe it's established that he's a 32nd degree Freemason. At least that's what has come across my desk. And certainly the inauguration ceremony was replete with Masonic symbolism. He was facing directly on the phallus of Lucifer, the obelisk, you know, the Washington Monument, faced directly onto it when he was inaugurated. Probably the Masonic Bible that every other president was sworn in on was there in place. He flubbed his line and got things out of order, which probably was ritual. And the fact that he had to repeat his oath of office the following day privately outside of the public eye should make anyone have shivers go up and down their spine, because anyone who's of so high and important a rank in a country not maintaining an oath of office in front of the public, that should make you shudder with horror. I mean, how on earth can that be? And how could it have been allowed to pass without huge, huge public displeasure, you know? Amazing.
Because the American people are pretty much brain dead, unfortunately, because of all these assaults that we've been discussing. And, of course, you know, the whole idea of having the first black president, that gave a lot of people this sense of pride that America had, you know, turned a corner and it was going to become, you know, more encompassing in terms of the whole population. But once again, that's why people need to do the research. Who is this man? Because, you know, he may have some extra melanin in his skin, but other than that, he's just like the rest of them, and he's proving that every day.
Yeah, and a slicker version of Slick Willie there never was. You know, he is absolutely perfect and impeccable in speech, in deportment, in grooming, in being suited up to the nines in the best Armani suits and everything else. I mean, he is a class act, there's no doubt, but it's worrying, you know, to see how duped the population is, in the sense that we have a seemingly perfect walking and talking and acting president, but we don't see any substance to his words. I mean, his actions, what is actually taking place around the world, seems to be in direct opposition to his stated goals. So the level
he's an expert in neuro-linguistic programming. And that's very obvious. Just the way he speaks, he actually puts people in a trance. And people should be asking themselves, where did this guy come from? I mean, no one had ever been heard of him, and all of a sudden he's running for president. But one of the pieces of information I came across in my research was that in April of 2005, he actually put before the Senate the Attacking Viral Influenza Across Nations Act. Where he writes in his act that we have to prepare for an influenza pandemic, including a bird flu pandemic and other purposes, and, you know, all the different things that he wants to have done in order for there to be a stronger response. And, of course, one thing that we didn't talk about in terms of H1N1 is that that was a bioweapon that was made in a laboratory to begin with. As a matter of fact, there's an excellent documentary that you can get from the Public Broadcasting Service at pbs.org called The Secrets of the Dead Killer Flu,
where this minion by the name of Jeffrey Toffenberger, a molecular pathologist with the Army Institute of Pathology, actually describes how they went to Alaska and dug up some dead bodies of people that had died from the Spanish flu in 1918, which, by the way, was caused by inoculations given to soldiers in World War I. And when he's asked on this documentary, why would you do such a thing, his response was, and I quote, "If we can shed light on why the 1918 virus was so lethal and understand the genetic basis of that, that info can be applied to the emergence of new influenza strains." So basically saying, let's go find something really virulent and damaging so that we could make the new strain. And then, let's see, in July of 2009, in the New England Journal of Medicine, volume 361, number 3, there's an article, "The Persistent Legacy of the 1918 Flu Virus," where the same Jeffrey Toffenberger says, "The current international pandemic caused by a novel influenza H1N1 virus derived from two unrelated swine viruses, one of them a derivative of the 1918 human virus." So when you put these two things together, it's self-evident that they went and got the virus and then they used it to make the H1N1, which was not actually as deadly as they had hoped, but, you know, the vaccine is what's going to be the real killer. The flu is, if you take colloidal silver, you'll be fine. But they had to develop this bioweapon in order to start a pandemic, to have an excuse for mass inoculation, which, of course, this vaccine, I'm sure, has a chip in it, not only a microchip, but probably also a DNA chip, because their goal is to alter our very genetic structure. And you've been doing this since time immemorial. I want to suggest to your listeners, you had mentioned Patrick Jordan before. He's written an outstanding book called ICD-999, The Chronic Serum Sickness Postulate, which is available on Cafe Press. There's a link on my website. But he has a whole timeline in that book as to how far back this goes, that these mad scientists have been actually tweaking viruses and other organisms to make them more dangerous. As a matter of fact, they now have a new rabies virus that you don't even have to be bit. You can just have it, you know, breathe it in, and it'll give you rabies. And, of course, rabies is a very bad virus. It actually turns you into a cannibal. And there's all kinds of evidence that they're putting rabies virus in vaccines, too. As a matter of fact, I am sure that the carnage that's occurring in some of the countries in Africa where different tribes are raping and cannibalizing their own people, this is because they've been exposed to the rabies virus.
Now, I want to ask you, in terms of an organism, and I mean, the viruses are very strange because they're unlike any other form of life on the planet. In fact, there is even debate as to whether they're actually organisms in the sense that we understand organisms to be. So I'm wondering, we know that many of the viruses that are in existence today have been created in laboratories, not least the human immunodeficiency virus, but what is the history of viruses themselves in your view? I mean, is this a kind of disease life form, if I can call it that, a disease organism that was created by these off-worlders from the very outset to try to cull or reduce our numbers?
Well, it could very well be. Of course, I don't believe anything I learned about viruses in medical school. But what I will say is apparently they are very tiny, microscopic intracellular parasites. They need some kind of a host in which to survive. So certainly they're different from anything else that we've
you know, had come up through the ages in terms of causing infections and things of that nature. But it turns out that the viruses can even have viruses. I mean, it all gets very confusing when you start to learn about these things. There's something called bacteriophages, which can inject material into other organisms as well. But the bottom line, because I don't want to get too scientific, my goal is for people to understand what I'm saying. What people have to realize is that these things are being created in laboratories. There's 1,088 biowarfare laboratories just in the United States alone. And what I learned from a case that happened in Canada, there was actually a Federal Express truck that got into an accident, and the entire community had to be cordoned off because the Federal Express driver was carrying some of these bioweaponized viruses from one laboratory to another. So while they're trying to scare us about the terrorists, which, of course, the reason that they're trying to make the Muslims into such bad guys is because the Muslims know what the Zionists are up to, and they also do not go along with this whole usury principle, which has bankrupted the entire world. They're trying to scare us and make us think that the terrorists are going to be, coming in, bringing all kinds of biowarfare agents into the populations. In actuality, it's your local Federal Express truck driving down your street that's much more likely to have a bioweapon on board. And that's what people have to realize. This is what these mad scientists are doing.
You know, you said something very interesting about the virus, that it's a parasite of a sort that requires a host. Well, in essence, these off-worlders, when they came to Earth and through genetic experimentation managed to coordinate their DNA with ours and create hybrid entities called the Nephilim, which in the book of Genesis in the Bible are referred to as the great men of renown, the Nephilim. In a sense, they require a host. They're parasites who require a human host to exist in this world. So by analogy, it would seem that the virus is of their invention because it's precisely the same in nature.
Exactly. They are also parasites. I totally agree.
So it seems that viruses are not naturally occurring and that they have been introduced on this planet probably from elsewhere.
Well, judging by all of the manipulation that is being done to the viruses, I think it's very possible that the whole concept of a virus was developed elsewhere as well. As a matter of fact, there was a TV series called Dark Skies a number of years ago, which had so much truth in it, it was amazing. And they took it off the air, and people just reacted very strongly. They wanted it back on, but I have a number of those shows on tape. And the very last show that they had, they had some gray alien. He was dying, and he was telling the hero of the show, I forget his name, that they had these parasitic races, basically, had developed something that would kill them, and they were all dying off. And that's why they had come to Earth, and that they were developing something that would intentionally do the same thing to the human race. And, of course, what else could there be but some kind of a virus? Although they have so many other things that they're doing simultaneously, like chemtrails and other things that are hurting us as well. But, yes, I think that that's a very logical supposition on your part. And, of course, these things will probably never be known for sure because whoever has the history of all this, I suspect there's probably a book in the Vatican that talks about it, but all of us regular people would never have access to such information.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these things are in the various, recorded in the various Vedic scriptures of the Hindu, so-called Hindu religion. basically those Vedic scriptures are said to have been authored by the the Aryan people that invaded India from the north. I know that they contain a lot of information about our universe. They even give the dimensions and the details pertaining to the various universes that are out there, and how would one know unless one had been there? So whoever authored the Vedas seems to have come from elsewhere. Krishna, who's often referred to in the Vedas, is a god of a blue color, of a blue hue. He's always depicted in every kind of Hindu art as being of a blue cast of color. So, I think that a lot of the information is there, but it's just not been disclosed. A lot of the Vedic scriptures were translated, I should say mistranslated deliberately by the British into English. We don't have access to the original Sanskrit manuscripts in many instances. They've never been translated. It's a vast storehouse of human knowledge that we do not have access to. And we've heard lots about the Dead Sea Scroll deception and how it's been in the hands of a few, and how do we know that it hasn't been tampered with in terms of its contents and what is being revealed. So this is the problem, is that probably a lot of the information is already readily accessible. It's just that it's not for us. I recall a friend of mine telling me that his Freemason grandfather, who was a 33rd degree Freemason, because he was such a high-ranking Freemason, he actually had a ring depicting a dragon and presumably some kind of dragon line. So now we're back to Nicholas de Vere and the dragon legacy. He said it was a Welsh dragon, but I would say that it's just probably this dragon line that we're talking about, some kind of bloodline. Anyway, because the father of my friend, the son of this grandfather that I'm speaking of, was his son, despite himself not being a Freemason, all he had to do is show this ring, and because of association with the grandfather, he was granted access to virtually every library archive in the world. Why can't you and I get into all these exclusive library archives? Knowing our research skills, I think we could go pretty far with it, but we never get the chance now, do we?
No, not only that, but like you were saying, any information that is released to the public at large is always occulted. And that's how they hide the truth in plain sight. They'll give out a lot of the information, but they'll leave out the most important information, or they'll just tweak it here and there so that the actual enormity of the information is hidden. And this is definitely a problem. But we don't have to have all of the information. What we just have to realize is that these bloodlines who are doing these things are destroying our planet and trying to call the human race and stand up and say that we will not be part of it, and just say no. That's the most important thing.
Well, it's really great to be on with you again. It's been a while, and I just want you to close by giving the listeners the details about the regular radio shows that you do with your colleague. I think Patrick Jordan, he's on with you quite often. So could you just tell the audience about that?
Yes, my show is on republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. There's a link on my site, drcarly.com. It's on every Saturday from 3 to 5 Eastern, and I encourage all of you to listen. There's also another website that has a lot of archives
of my show where you can listen for free with no commercials, and that's the LightOfDayRadioShow.com. The last four or five shows that are on there, especially that I've been doing with Patrick Jordan, we've been discussing religion, how these people have been hoodwinked by different religious cults, and other information along those lines, which has had an outstanding response. People are really hungry for this information because they smell a rat. And I would like to thank you so much for having me on, Tim, and when your schedule allows, I would love to have you on my show again whenever you're available, so let me know.
Okay, absolutely, and great to be with you again, and I look forward to our next show. My schedule will likely lighten up in a month or two, so I'll certainly let you know. And I'd like to have you on again on this show, so stay in touch. And thanks for being with us.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye, Tim.
Okay, then. Bye.